If you choose, you will make me clean. I do choose, be made clean. Some translations have it, if you will, you can make me whole. Others have it, if you wish, you can make me whole. The plea of someone in trouble to our Lord Jesus Christ. What does God really wish for us? What does God really will for us? What does God really choose for us? What is God thinking about us, about our welfare, about our well-being? I think if someone gives us a blueprint of what they want or what they are doing, we might have to take them by what they have given us. And we find the blueprint of what God wills, wishes, and chooses for us in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. God said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, who were the first priests of Israel then, this is how you are to bless the children of Israel. May the face of the Lord shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you," and so on and so forth. God gave a formula for blessing. Nowhere in the Bible do we find any formula given by God for cursing anybody. And therefore, we can believe that God wishes, wills, and chooses our well-being. God wills, wishes, and chooses our blessing, not our problems. And if we fast forward to the prophecy of Jeremiah, God also told Jeremiah, "Tell my people, this is what I have in mind. I have a plan for you. A plan for your peace, not disaster. A plan for a future filled with hope. When you cry to me, when you come and pray to me, I will listen." Just as this man who was in trouble came and prayed to Jesus, "If you do wish, you can heal me." And Jesus listened to his prayer. Dear friends, with these comforting words from God, knowing that God loves us beyond measure, knowing that God always thinks for our good, knowing that God is always working towards our well-being, how then do we handle the inevitable, the problems of life that must surely come, the problems of life that followed the disobedience of our first parents, the problems of life that we drew unto ourselves by our pride, by our arrogance, by our wanting to be like God, embodied in our first parents? How do we handle the issues of sickness, pain, war, things that sometimes we don't even know are coming upon us, and then someday someone tells us those words we do not want to hear, "I am sorry to tell you, but"? We get those calls we do not want to get from anybody. Is that on the line? "I'm sorry to tell you, but," and then our hearts sink. How do we handle those occasions? I think there are three ways we might approach them. There are so many other ways, but three I will talk about in this brief homily. First of all is to prioritize, dear friends. What is my most enduring need? What is it that enchains me the most? This man, let us talk about this leper who approached Jesus. He prioritized. He knew what he needed the most. He knew what was holding him down. Jesus did not solve all his problems. Jesus did not free him from all his problems. Because think about it. In the first reading, it says, "Ostracize anyone with leprosy." How would you feel, dear friends, if in addition to your physical ailment, you are ostracized from society? Can you imagine the psychological burden this man was bearing? I'm sure in his heart he wasn't a very happy man. He didn't ask for happiness. He asked for healing because he knew that the healing would be the gateway to his happiness. He prioritized. He probably was very bitter with family and friends who abandoned him. Maybe no one ever came to the leper colony to say, "Hey, are you okay? Just tell me, shout from there that you are okay." Probably he was a very bitter person against the people who pushed him away, who didn't even give him a second chance, who avoided him. But he didn't ask for the death of his enemies. He didn't ask for punishment for those people. He asked for something that will free him towards healing, towards peace of mind. He prioritized. If you can, You can cleanse me so that I can start all over again. What are those things that enchain us, dear friends? What are those things that hold us down, that sometimes we think we can gloss over, but they affect every other thing we do in life? Just as everything this man had was affected by his leprosy. Of course, he couldn't work. You had to be out of society. Coming into the village, you had to ring a bell and cover your mouth and tell everybody that you are approaching. What are those things that hold us down and deny us the ability to be whole and entire? The second step, after we prioritize, when we find out those things we really, really need to get rid of, that we are in need of healing from, to bring it with faith to our Lord Jesus Christ, to let nothing hinder us from continually bringing it to God in prayer. To let nothing prevent us from bringing it to Jesus in prayer, not even time. Let us remember that St. Paul, in the second letter to the Corinthians, he said that he was afflicted with something, never mentioned what it is, but whatever it was, it bothered him enough to write it down. Three times he had spoken to Jesus. Three times he has asked in prayer that he be freed of whatever it was that afflicted him. Three times he got a reply, my strength is enough for you. Three times he was refused, but still it did not prevent him from being one of the greatest of the preachers. It didn't prevent him from continuing to do his work, but he continued also to pray to the one who can give him, if nothing else, peace of mind. I think St. Paul was at peace with the fact that he had asked in prayer. St. Paul was at peace that he had gone to the one who knows everything and can heal all ailments. How many times have we prayed? How many times have we come in frustration thinking that God no longer listens to us? God listens, God knows, and God hears. God also suffers with each and every one of us, because no good parent will not suffer with his or her child who is suffering. But length of time should not prevent us from continually bringing to Jesus in prayer anything, be it psychological, physical, financial, whatever problems we have. Let not time be a hindrance. Because the woman in the gospel who was hemorrhaging for 12 good years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 12 years, she never gave up until she powered through the crowd and touched Jesus' cloak and got her healing after 12 years. I think probably after the sixth year, I may be tired of even pursuing any kind of healing. 12 years she endured and she got her healing. This man who is a leper, we do not know how long he's been seeking a cure. We do not know how long he's been suffering bodily and psychologically. But at long last, when he saw Jesus, think about it. Think of the drama that occurred when he was going towards Jesus. If I were St. Peter, trust me, I would take at least 7 steps back away from Jesus and that man. Do your thing. But I'm not going to be close, because if he so much as touched anything a leper touched, you were unclean also. You had to go and cleanse yourself and make some sacrifices. That was the religion of those days. So I would have stepped back, and I'm sure others stepped back. I think I'm pretty clear that there were whispers, stop him, he's going to defy the master. I'm sure there were people holding their noses. Oh, who allowed him into the company of us who are healthy? I'm sure he saw the look of disdain and scorn in people's faces, but it never stopped him. He still went ahead. We hear all these motivational speeches telling us to power through our problems. This is a perfect example. Despite the whispers, despite the hindrances, despite the fact that he was someone who no one wanted any contact with, he knew what he wanted. He asked for it. He asked for it and he got it. What are those things that we want, that we are holding ourselves back? Let us borrow a leaf from this man, dear friends, and go to Jesus. Bring it to God in prayer continually, day in, day out. If nothing else, let us have the peace of mind that we have given a report to God of our situation. Because sometimes the comfort we get from knowing that God is with us helps us through any situation. Sometimes the comfort we get in prayer helps us through the most difficult of situations. I'm sure we have friends and family who have left the church. We have friends and family who have abandoned their faith. We have friends and family who have given up because of problems in life. Dear friends, let us invite them back. Let us remind them that God knows, God sees, and God suffers with them. And then thirdly, today we celebrate the World Day of the Sick. There are so many sicknesses out there, but I want to point to one, and then one that is not a sickness, but it's a burden. One is mental illness, dear friends. Let us be very patient with people who suffer from any kind of mental illness. Very patient and kind towards them, because there is something there preventing them from knowing as much as we know, from functioning as much as we function. We always have to have that in mind. Never lose patience with anyone who is suffering from a mental illness. If I say something in my language, okay, let me say this. Unoka na boko. There is no reaction. But if it were people who speak my language, Igbo, all of them would be gone from this church, because I just told you that the church is on fire. So, but just because you do not have the language, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And that is the same thing with people who struggle with any kind of mental illness, including addictions. They have come to the stage where there is something that just does not click. And that is why at no point when dealing with them should we lose our patience with them. Empathy, sympathy, prayer, and always letting them know that we are there for them. And the second one is old age. Let us call it what it is. There are times when life with age comes bearing down on each and every one of us. We have friends, we have family especially, who are up to that stage. Let us also be very patient with them. Old age is not a sickness, but it can sometimes be a trial. Let us be patient with them. Let us remember that at some point, we were also a burden to them. My grandmother died at the age of 108. I don't know if I will ever get there. I'm falling apart already. But, but she got to a point where when you went to visit, every 3 minutes you had to reintroduce yourself to this woman who was once strong and vibrant, very intelligent. You had to reintroduce yourself time and time and time again. But in retrospect, I'm thinking, there was a time when we also got on her nerves. When we came to visit, we would ask her why this, why that, why this, why she was trying to knit or cook or do something else. We were always ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba with our questions. We also got on her nerves. And then she needed us at that time. Thankfully, we were there for her. And I think I would like everyone to have that satisfaction of being with friends and family, even when age is making them not who they were before. And as I said, age is not an illness, but sometimes it can be a trial for the people around those who are burdened with old age. May the peace of the Lord be with you.